Welcome to another edition of Community Tides, coming to you during the noon hour on alternate Fridays with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of the Jefferson Community Foundation, to talk about new developments, new paradigms, and the new normal as we are spinning into 2021, having left one of the most challenging years in recent history. Hi, Siobhan.
Hi, Chris.
We have a special guest today for our time together. Tanya Burkett is ABD in sociology, specializing in social inequality, health, and illness. She has been social justice worker for 30 years. She grew up in Portland, Oregon, and lived in Raleigh, North Carolina for 17 years before moving to Port Townsend. She's lived in Port Townsend for 3.5 years, almost 4 years now. She's currently co-facilitating a racial justice literacy workshop series she developed for Black Lives Matter of Jefferson County volunteers, developing anti-racist training and consulting services for nonprofits organizations. And she's collaborating also with Dr. Jessica Tartaro to raise funds for wellness services for BIPOC activists in Jefferson County. Specifically, she's founder, facilitator, and consultant for USABA Consulting. It's an equity and inclusion business that specializes in consulting, training, and facilitating for individuals, communities, and organizations interested in dismantling systems of oppression. Tanya Burkett, thank you so much for being here and welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Tanya, we're so lucky to have you here in our community leading the way. And I just wanted to point out, you know, all of the work that you're doing and the new businesses that you're starting are all based here in Jefferson County. So I just wanted to start there. It's a new growing piece of capacity that we all have access to in terms of our own education and hard work on anti-racism. So really, really thrilled to see your business growing and just hoping to hear how you were thinking about the strategy of anti-racist literacy generally, the role that plays in this community in terms of moving us forward on equity issues, and a little bit about why nonprofits.
It's an exciting and overwhelming time both at the same time, but we know lots of things can be happening all at once. I kind of have been doing anti-racist race relations kind of work most of my life, actually, but definitely the past 30 years, and taught a class called Race and Ethnic Relations frequently in my graduate program to undergraduate students. My head has been in this work for a while, but coming to Port Townsend, being in this small community and experiencing what's happening right now with the unrest, this kind of piquing people's interest and increasing their awareness, I really kind of saw that this was a community that was really sort of ripe for doing this work. Because I think people here, I think people everywhere, but people here really do, you know, they care about other people. They want to do the right thing. They're not always sure how to do it. They don't understand the problem. So I got involved in taking a racial justice reading group through Fen River, which has done some really amazing social justice work through their organization. And that's where I met my friend and co-facilitator, Anya Callahan. We used to do those reading groups together. And then last summer, we started getting together to talk about developing some kind of training that we could do in the community. Because what I noticed was, especially on social media, which I became way more engaged in than I had been for a long time, a lot of people would call out racism, but they didn't know how to talk about it. And it quickly escalated into just insulting people and just calling them racists and bigots and, you know, things like that, rather than having a constructive conversation about it. Part of that might just be the nature of social media. We can't always have very constructive conversations on social media. But I just thought maybe I could help people have an understanding as they're becoming aware, help them understand racism and social justice issues and start to develop a plan for how they can speak to it in their own personal lives. So Anya and I started working on that together. And, you know, I had the background and training in designing curriculum. Anya had experience doing some facilitation. They also had been doing some social activism for a while. So it just came together really well for us. As we were building that, I was connecting with Black Lives Matter of Jefferson County, they asked that I do this training for their volunteers. They just wanted to have a place where they could come together, kind of assess their commitment to the movement and the work, and help them gain some tools to talk about it and build some, you know, community with them. So that's what we did. That was our first group of people, was the Black Lives Matter of Jefferson County volunteers. And then at the same time that was going on, we were approached by Black Lives Matter of Jefferson County again about an opportunity to do training with nonprofits, and that some funding had become available to support that training. And I had a lot of experience working in nonprofits, wanted to do some work with them. So it worked out well. So we just kind of redesigned the curriculum a little bit for nonprofits. And that's what we're doing right now.
How does that all work? Now, okay, so you got together with Anya to begin with, and then you have a couple of more consultants working with you now. How did that all happen?
So it was Anya and I first, and then Ash Hunt is with Black Lives Matter of Jefferson County, and they were also interested in learning how to facilitate the training. So Ash came in during the Black Lives Matter of Jefferson County workshop series to just co-facilitate with us and get some experience. They also have a lot of experience with feet on the ground, organizing and activism, and some training in, you know, being a medic at protests and things like that. Just has, you know, a lifelong passion for social justice work. It worked out really well that we got to know each other through that process. And then we thought, once we got the grant to work on the nonprofits, we wanted to just expand the team one more. So it was really through relationship that we found the facilitators. So then Sam Crichel came in, also just a wonderful activist, very intelligent from a therapeutic background. So a good understanding of like trauma issues, which we like to address as we're doing this training and to be really sensitive to. So I think all of us bring a lot of different experience and background to this work, and it really rounds our team out well. So it's wonderful to be working with all of them. They're all 20 years younger than I am. And I love that because I learned so much from them. Like, my learning never ends, and they're such an important part of that. So I'm really grateful to have a diversity of experience and knowledge and interest in the group.
It's an interesting point, Tanya, that there you were talking about the two decades of separation between your coworkers. That's important, I think, because there's certain ways of thinking as generations grow within society. They generate certain ways of thinking, certain ways of doing things. And of course, technology is something that has really influenced that. And the other thing that struck me is that you have somebody there that has been out in the streets long enough to know the psychology of a crowd, which is also pretty important in facilitating some of these trainings, I would imagine.
I just really love that we all bring something different to the table and we're learning together. There are things like when I was growing up and learning about gender and sexuality that we didn't really talk a lot about, things like what we never even talked about pronouns. Never. I mean, the biggest thing was, you know, that someone shouldn't call me a girl, that I'm a woman, not a girl or a lady, you know, like, don't call me those things. So I'm learning a lot about those things, and I'm really excited about it. And sometimes it's difficult for me because I make a lot of mistakes too, and I have to have uncomfortable conversations. So as I'm helping people learn how to have uncomfortable conversations, I'm also doing the same thing.
I remember the first time I encountered the pronoun situation, and I'm sitting in a group of organizers, and I said to myself, are we being too overly sensitive here? Are we being too, I mean, let's just get on with it. I'm you, you are me, and let's get on with it. And I think that I have sort of changed my understanding as time has gone by. That had a lot to do with some reflection and listening.
Right. We have to let go of our sort of like old Tommy beliefs about how people should be or what they should be called. And people should be called what they want to be called. And there's not always agreement about what that is. I actually had a conversation with a friend this weekend who said to me that she had Indigenous friends that wanted to be called Indian. It was an uncomfortable conversation because my understanding is there's a general consensus that that is not the appropriate way to refer to Indigenous people. And I said, well, you know, I think in general, we should probably refer to people as Native American or Indigenous. But if there's individuals that prefer that you call them Indian, then that's their choice and that's what you do. Like, you know, we don't have to make an issue of it. It's for them to decide what they want or how they feel.
Anya, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about the literacy training for nonprofits and how many local nonprofits are going through it and what does it mean to go through it?
There's about 20 different nonprofits, I believe, organizations in the area that are going through the training right now. We expanded upon the one that we did for Black Lives Matter, which that was initially 9 hours, and we're doing 16 hours of training with nonprofits. We're meeting every other week through Zoom. There's a curriculum that's kind of based on a model that was developed by Barbara Love called the Developing a Liberatory Consciousness Model. And so it's kind of following that steps. And I wrote about that in Straight Up. So if people want to get the old Straight Up from November, they can read a bit more about my experiences. I developed a liberatory consciousness. But the idea is to help increase awareness, to begin doing some analysis. So understanding the issue of racism and developing a little bit of an action plan, building some community accountability and learning about how to be an ally. And really helping people also just start getting some experience having conversations about racism that so many people say they have a hard time talking about race. They're uncomfortable. They're ashamed that they don't know about it. They feel guilty. And so the more experience we have with that, the better we can sort of embrace those feelings of discomfort and just work through it. It's probably never going to be comfortable, but you just get used to it. I'm not going to say you get comfortable with it. You just get used to it. That's the thing. Nonprofits are a good group to do this with because they provide so many services to the community and to people who are marginalized. That's where people have sort of the most personal experiences in our community is with nonprofits that are providing healthcare services, support services, child rearing services, education, all the different things that nonprofits do. So working with them is great to get them on board and understanding and better able to serve their clientele. The challenge with nonprofits is that sort of the foundation of nonprofits is one that's directly related to capitalism. You know, nonprofits were generally started in the early 1900s by wealthy people who were trying to find a way to protect their money from taxing. And so they started these nonprofits and foundations so that they can put their money in there and not be taxed or write them off on their taxes. And then in addition to that, they can sort of exercise some control over how services are provided to people who are in need. So they can dictate how that money is spent. It's never to aid in changing the system, to challenging the system of capitalism. It's usually in some ways placates people who are marginalized. So it provides them with some services and a sense of dependency upon nonprofits. And that can kind of placate them a bit. And nonprofits are limited and they can't do a lot of direct social action or political actions with the funding. So that becomes challenging. But we can find some creative ways to try to help people through nonprofits if we understand the problem and develop a plan for how to do that.
Anya, I know you know a lot of resources that folks can use to educate themselves further about nonprofits and philanthropy and the issues of equity and racism that are in those systems. Can you share with us some of those resources in case folks are interested in learning more?
Two books that several of us on our team are reading. One of them is Decolonizing Wealth, and I can't remember the author of that book right now. And then another one is called The Revolution Will Not Be Funded, which is also a really great book. I'm sort of reading through both of those books as well. I mean, anybody can sort of just search online for articles or pieces about philanthropy and social justice or inequality or how that perpetuates social inequalities. And then there's definitely some organizations. Looking into mutual aid groups is a really good way to find a way to support grassroots activism that's not directly connected to nonprofits. I have a Facebook page if people want to look at my Facebook page for USAWA. So it's USAWA Consulting on Facebook. And also I have a website, which is under development. Still, it's available, and at some point I'll share resources on there. But we're very lucky these days because we do have this amazing resource in the internet that we can search for all kinds of things. It's amazing what's out there, endless resources.
Everyone can get on their own journey and find a bunch of information out there. And fortunately, there's a growing pool of literature, podcasts, all kinds of things that folks can access.
I have so many podcasts that I listen to, but you also still need to exercise some amount of critical analysis and discretion when you look at these resources. So just because it's on the internet or it's on a podcast doesn't mean that it's legitimate. So you have to be critical about that. And if you find that something sort of piques you in a way that you're like, huh, that's interesting or curious, or I never knew that, dig into it a little bit deeper. It's work for all of us.
On that note, Tanya, I'm sure there's some folks listening who might be interested in participating in a future anti-racism literacy workshop series. Will that be an option that you're going to be offering?
Yeah, I mean, we originally were doing this for community. We didn't even think at first about doing it for BLM, JC, or for nonprofits. We really thought it was for community. And then these opportunities came up and we just went with those. So we're definitely going to be offering it to the community. We'll share, you know, information on my Facebook page and on my website. And if people want to email me, they can email me and I can put them on a list to notify them. My email address is my name spelled T-O-N-I-A at USAWA, USAWA Consulting, consulting.com. And just email me if you want to get on the list and I'll follow up with you.
I have one more question about the content of these trainings, for example. As I was reading some of the literature about USAWA Consulting and what you're doing, in a situation where something comes up where someone is being racist, whether they're being consciously racist or whether they're being directly racist in their remarks or their demeanor or whatever it is, part of the training is learning how to not necessarily call them out, but to sort of interrupt that and try to understand it. Am I getting the drift right?
Yeah, we do talk a little bit about that. This isn't really a sort of an action-oriented workshop series. It's more about learning about racism and how it operates and at the different levels. But through that, you can also you have more tools to respond when you are hearing things that are racist. So you can counter with, well, actually, this is what I learned, you know. But we do, at some point, we do share some ways that people can respond. And they're just really simple things like asking people, wait a second, what did you just say? Can you please explain that to me again? Sometimes you can just get people to say what they said again, and then they'll realize the error in their words. Or just simply telling people that you don't agree with what they said, that you learned differently. There's different techniques you can use that are just really simple. And at some point, we will offer some workshops to give people practice in that as well, on interrupting racism. We're actually starting to work on integrating more gender and sexuality stuff into our curriculum. And we might, you know, create at some point just some small workshops that we do on those specific issues, just for people who have already taken the workshop we'll have brush up courses for people.
I think the work you're doing is so powerful, Tanya. Thank you. And thanks to your team. And nonprofits are the place where folks go to exercise their change making skills. My hope is that all of the change makers who work for and with nonprofits will become their own activists and advocates for equity. And I'm just so grateful that you're making that opportunity available to everyone who's participating. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I'm really thrilled to be in this community and able to do this work. Small pond, small fish versus a big pond and a big, you know, small fish.
Tanya Burkett, the founder and facilitator with USAWA Consulting, an equity and inclusion business that specializes in consulting, training, facilitating for individuals, communities, and organizations interested in dismantling systems of oppression. Keep on doing the good work.
Thank you, Chris and Siobhan. It's great to be here with you.
Well, this has been another edition of Community Tides, coming to you during the noon hour on alternate Fridays with yours truly, Chris Bricker and Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of the Jefferson Community Foundation. Thank you so much. And until next time, this has been Community Tides.